This is the Andrew Walsh Podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen. I really appreciate it. I'm praying you can take away something from this episode that brings value to your life. Make sure to subscribe to my podcast to stay up to date with the latest episodes. And please share with a friend if you feel you're getting something out of these episodes. You can also follow me on Instagram at @A_Walsh. Let's fire it off. All right, what's going on, folks? I'm super fired up today. I have Brett Shoemaker. He is on. He is our guest today. It's crazy. As soon as Gemma and I became debt-free, I mean, we were so excited. Got a huge, you know, roar of applause from social media. Made it on the Dave Ramsey page. And Brett reached out to me. Never met him. We were talking through Instagram. He had an amazing story. And, you know, it's an honor to have him as a guest on this platform. He's going to share an amazing testimony and cue us in on some wonderful things going on in his life. He's about to be celebrating his 10-year wedding anniversary with his wife as well. So it's an honor to have you on today, Brett. How are you doing, my friend? And where are you coming from so the audience knows?
Oh, man, Andrew, thank you. Thank you. First of all, congrats to you and your wife on accomplishing that feat. It's huge. We applaud you, man. We think it's great. And we really, really appreciate you taking the time to bring us on today. So we're actually currently in East Texas. And, you know, that changes from time to time, as we'll talk about, because our home is on wheels. So we're currently in the East Texas area and trying to make it and survive just like everybody else right now.
Yes, sir. I love it. So I know you had actually paid off over $167,000 of debt within 19 months, and almost 137 of that was student loans in just 12 months. Man, like, I cannot wait to hear your story. I'm so juiced.
Oh, man. So yeah, you know, it was a long road to get here. My wife works in surgery. Got a pretty intense job. With that job brought a lot of student loan debt, as it required a lot of education. So, you know, we had some of mine residual from when I went to school. We're both healthcare professionals by trade. And we kind of got sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? As Dave says, you know, and we started our journey basically at the point where we thought we were living that American dream. We had a house, we had the picket fence, we had, you know, all the things you think in life set you up for success. But one thing that was missing was time. We didn't have a lot of time with one another, and reaching our 10-year, you know, wedding anniversary right around the corner, it was becoming apparent that, well, the lifestyle that we were living really wasn't the goal that we wanted for ourselves. So there was kind of that straw that broke the camel's back, and I'm sure you probably could relate to that, Andrew. You know, Meredith came home upset from work one night, and her schedule was all over the place. And we basically just sat down and had a 2-hour conversation and said, you know, that's it. And we had been watching, ironically enough, HGTV's Tiny House Hunters and Tiny House Living.
Yeah.
And I knew as a healthcare professional that we could potentially travel for work. And at the time, I had been a remote employee for, gosh, the last 8 years, really in my job. And I knew that as long as I had a stable internet connection, maybe had access to an airport if it required some travel, that we could do this. Her job was certainly the one that was more questionable. And we looked into contract type positions for her job and found that it exists. And then it became the question I asked her: could you live in an RV full time? Could we travel between your contracts every 3 to 6 months at a time, take our house with us, have our bed be the same? And that concept, little be known to us at the time, there's a term for that. And some of you may have heard of this, some of you haven't, but it's termed geo-arbitrage. And that's basically the concept. There is, you basically live in high cost of living areas, or you have a high cost of living salary, but you live in low cost of living areas and pay low cost of living prices. So that was kind of what steamrolled us in that debt payoff direction. And in that first 12 months, it was all about that dedication. We aggressively sold, we budgeted, we finally looked at money coming in, money going out, and we buckled in, man. And we started our journey in October of 2018, and we hit final student loan payment for $137,000 at the end of October of 2019. So 12 months later, $137,000 was gone.
Wow, yeah, man, you gotta, I just want you right now, just give yourself a pat on the back, Brett. I mean, for anybody who's listening, I know even for me and Gemma, we're looking at 54,000, like steep hill, but I mean, $137,000. That's why I started this podcast, mind, body, spirit. I know mentally you said you and Meredith were in a state where like, we're not really spending that much time together. I'm sure, you know, having that debt, like you and I talked on before we started filming today, you know, it's like having weight on you. It's like having a weight vest, knowing like, yeah, I'm making money, but I have this to pay off. And, you know, can you kind of cue us into, I know the mindset while you were in paying off that debt and you made the leap to like, we're going to change up the way we're living so that we can tackle this faster, and kind of segue that into the feeling of accomplishment and achieving, paying off all those student loans.
Yeah. The mindset, man, that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, you can sit around and wish for things to happen. But at some point in time, you got to lock that mindset in to telling yourself you can make it happen and you're going to make it happen. And that was where we were. You know, I wanted to spend more time with her and doing the things that we actually enjoy doing. And that was really what pushed us over the edge. And once, you know, Dave talks about the debt snowball, some people in the FIRE movement, they talk about, you know, debt avalanche methods on how to attack. So we did a combination of both, to be honest with you. So we, you know, once you get that first little bit of taste of, oh man, we just paid that off, we can keep going. Like, all right, that gives you that extra motivation. You see a little bit come off, kind of like weight loss. You know, about 6 years ago, I was 60 pounds heavier. I was on the verge of probably being a diabetic down the road. And I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of feeling the way I felt. And I lost 60 pounds over the course of 2 years. And I changed my, you know, health outlook. So once I started seeing some of the weight go away and I got, you know, more physically fit, that added more motivation to keep going. Same thing goes with finances, right? There's a reason you want to be financially fit. And that motivation was locking in those payments and seeing that amount go down every single month. And as it started to go down more and more and more, and our expenses went away that we started with, we were able to throw even more at it. So that whole snowball is a real deal. The more that you can put into it after you get rid of some of the expenses, the better. We had one that was, you know, relatively high as far as, you know, credit goes and the cost that we wanted to get rid of first. And it was mine. I've been dealing with forever. So we kind of tackled that one first and then did the rest of the techniques, kind of like Dave talks about with the debt snowball. But that was it, man. That we really wanted to lock in and we got aggressive.
Yeah. And then just, I want to recap too, debt snowball. So for you guys and anyone who's listening, were you tackling the smallest loans first? You know, can I just want you to explain it a little bit how you did it. Like, let's say you had 10 student loans equaling 50,000. She had 11 equaling 57,000, something like that. And you guys each would tackle the lowest one together. Yours, can you explain that, how you did it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's exactly what we did. We had one outlier that was one of those loans that was classified as a student loan, but it wasn't. It was more like a personal loan with a high interest rate. So we wanted to get rid of that one first. So it was not our lowest balance. So the debt snowball is you start with the lowest balance of debt first, and then you go from there. So with that, once we paid that one off, then we rolled into the paying off the least amount owed and just snowballed it from there.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I know some of my friends hit me up asking that exact question. You know, if you can't really refinance out of a really high interest rate, it is kind of like Brett was saying, you want to pay that one off first, and then you'll go to the smallest one because you get that dopamine hit every time you pay that one completely off. And it's just like, boom, that's gone. It's done. And yes, you really mentioned something that I love. And it was, you know, your weight loss too. Like, you lost 60 pounds. I think in life, a lot of times we're chasing success and financial success and all these exterior, you know, achievements. But once we really start to internally, you know, self-love and appreciate what's around us, and I think for you, that weight loss journey was like, man, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to feel healthier. I want to feel more energetic. You invested in you, right? And I talk about people who are famous and successful and, you know, they have it all, but they're not happy inside because they're not giving themselves the self-love. When was that point for you, Brett, when you were, whether it hit you in the head that like, man, I'm like not happy. I have all this stuff going on. And what did you do? Like, was there visualization? Was there prayer? What was the way to kind of dig you out?
So yeah, I could probably talk about this in a whole nother podcast, Andrew, to be honest with you, because I'm so motivated by it. We do run an online fitness community as well for other travelers like ourselves that are very committed to being healthy and fit while they're on the road. Mm-hmm. So we do have that as well. But so for me, it was a visual thing. It was a feeling thing more than anything. My mental state was terrible. It was not in a good place. It was definitely that classic see the glass half empty kind of mindset back in those days. And I wanted to change that. So we actually took a trip. My wife was about to graduate getting her doctorate back in 2015. We took a trip out west to San Francisco. And if any of you are familiar with that area, there's Baker Beach and that trail that leads you all the way to the Golden Gate Bridge. And that trail can be pretty strenuous, not just for hiking, but if you want to run it. Well, there was a gentleman who was probably in his 60s that passed me running this trail, and I could barely walk it. I was having a hard time breathing.
Wow.
And it was that moment. I never met that guy. I wish I did so I could shake his hand and thank him for that. Not 1 month after we got back from that trip, that was the moment for me. I looked at that guy and I said, I want to be that 60-something-year-old guy running that trail without even barely, you know, huffing and puffing. I want that to be me. So, you know, that was the moment there that kind of set the tone on getting my mindset right. And since then, I haven't looked back.
Yeah, I love that story. I feel like I'm a sucker for a good story, and that's something I'll always remember. And I want to transition to a little bit into kind of this nomadic RV lifestyle. I know for me, I'm one person who, like, I kind of struggle with change. I'll admit it. I'm very habitual, and I do the same things every morning, same environment every morning. So you guys are moving, you're traveling. I'm assuming there's permits where you can park an RV. You can't. Can you explain the lifestyle? Because I know it's obviously helping you guys save money. And I want to also see, is this something you guys are going to continue doing now that you've experienced it?
Sure, man. Great, great, great questions. So yeah, the whole RV lifestyle is quite the change. And like you said, you've got to be open and flexible to that a little bit if you wanted to do this full time. We went cold turkey, man. We had never been in an RV ourselves ever. And we went from 2,400 square feet in our house down to roughly 300 square feet full time.
Wow.
And that was quite the culture shock a little bit for us, you know. And there's simple things too. Like, you don't even pay attention. You know, if you're looking to get in the lifestyle, there's certain things that you don't realize in your day to day is just part of your day to day. And that changes when you're in the RV. So I always like to tell the story because it's kind of funny, but in the RV, you don't have traditional plumbing like you do at home. And it's comprised of a tank system, a gray tank and a black water tank. Well, when you go to use the restroom in the RV, something that you are used to at home, when you flush the toilet, that water rises back up, right? You don't even think about it. It's an automatic thing. It just happens. In the RV, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And you've got to do it manually. And if you don't do it, you're going to end up having probably some plumbing issues. So that was just something key there that we didn't know and didn't do our research enough. And we got caught sideways with that piece of information. But yeah, so as far as RV parks and stuff like that go, there are certain places that allow full-timers like ourselves. There are other places that are strictly short-term based, like, you know, 2 weeks at the time max. So we have to do our research ahead of time, wherever her contracts are, call ahead, find out if they allow full-timers like us and stuff like that. As far as being able to save the money, which is what you mentioned beforehand, for our debt, that was part of it. We knew that with her salary, we could maximize her earning potential doing what she was doing already back at our Sticks and Bricks. But we didn't want to have to pay rent or buy another house or anything like that. Most campgrounds charge anywhere from $300 up to $800 a month on average. And that includes water, sewer, Wi-Fi, some offer cable TV, you name it. That's all included in that $300 to $800 price range. So if you are able to buy an RV outright with cash, not everybody can, but even if you aren't, you can still keep that payment low on the RV and combine that with the monthly expense to park it at a campground. We have come away from paying about, I would say, somewhere between $1,200 to $1,300, maybe $1,400 less a month than what we were paying back in Nashville, Tennessee, which is where our home base is. And because of that, we just took all that extra man and hit debt with it. And that was the whole objective. So it was kind of like, let's get comfortable with the uncomfortable, because what we can do with the money that we save and build up to pay off debt is far greater than the little bit of uncomfortableness that we have to deal with.
Yeah, I think your story is amazing for people who are listening right now. And if you are serious and you're committed, you will take crazy and drastic measures. And, you know, I love Cal Poly SLO, the college I went to. Our motto there was learn by doing, right? You buy an RV, there's no like playbook. I'm sure there's some YouTube videos, but it's kind of learn by doing. But you had a goal, you wanted to get there, and the fastest, quickest way to get there, you know, this was a way you could save money. You did the research. So if you don't mind sharing, Brett, do you think this is a long-term play? Is this until you guys are completely 100% debt-free? Now you've lived it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, man. So we're officially in our 20th month of full-timing it. We started, like I said earlier, October of 2018. We initially started with a plan to just do this 12 months to see, you know, because we had no idea about it. So we set a goal. We're going to pay our debt off in 12, our student loan debt in 12 months. And we're going to survive being in the RV for 12 months. And it's hard to say survive because it's been far better than just surviving. So long-term speaking, we now had that conversation back in January when we left Virginia to come to Texas, that we have now committed for another 2 years minimal. And those 2 years are going to be basically related to that retire inspired, like our friend Chris Hogan talks about from Ramsey Solutions. You know, we're on a path to retire early now. That's our objective. And when we say retire early, sometimes people may interpret that as, you know, us being lazy, so to speak. But for us, retire early is kind of like, we want to do jobs that make us happy. So for me, like doing health and fitness and trying to help motivate others with that, I just recently switched careers. I left healthcare after 17 years because of our debt-free journey and the reality of being financially independent. I was fortunate enough to leave healthcare after 17 years, and now I'm in a financial coach, lifestyle coach position. And that's something that's very passionate to me. I want to inspire and try to help others know that just because you came from X, Y, and Z doesn't mean that that is the life that you have to live. You have the ability to choose your life that you see fit, that works for you. And debt freedom is all part of that. So long-term, probably the next 2 years, Andrew, to be honest with you. And, we hope to retire early, somewhere around that age 50 is where we're targeting, if we can make that a reality. So now the focus is, we got a little bit of debt left, but now the focus is heavy on our retirement and investing on what that is. We manage a vacation rental property remotely from the road as well. So we've got some things that we work on as well, in addition to finishing up our debt.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm curious to see, you know, what kind of investment strategies you have. And I know before we get into that, you alluded to you leaving, you know, your healthcare background and pursuing a dream of yours that I'm sure as you've gone through this, you realized, wow, this is really changing my life. I want to use the pain that I've been through of having all this debt and not knowing what to do, to now I'm coming through it. I want to help people from where I've been. Do you mind explaining a little bit about what you do now as a job? Because I know your wife, she pretty much essentially travels and has different contracts. Right. Is that all over the nation? Is a certain part of states too? I'm kind of interested on both sides.
Yeah, no. That's a great, great question. So for her, it's really nationwide. Her contracts, we will go where there is a need, and we will essentially go somewhere and that's part of being in the RV with our home on wheels, right? We're not limited to where we can and can't go. If San Diego calls us next week and says, "Hey, do y'all want to take a contract in October?" We're going to be like, "Yeah, we're in. We'll be there." You know, so it's that flexibility there and her work there. Now there's, I will say, on her side, it's a little cumbersome because she's got to go through a pretty extensive process to get licenses by state. So every state does something a little different. So there's an application process. She's got to get approved, usually all those steps there before we can just commit to an area. We can't just go, you know, and make that happen. So there's some licensing and state requirements that have to be met beforehand. So that's usually part of the stipulations with hers. But for the most part, we'll go where there's a contract available in our country. For me, work has been a lot of things. You know, I've kind of got a mixed bag of different things that I do on a daily basis. And even so, when I was in healthcare, I worked, you name it. It's easier for me to tell you what I haven't done in healthcare than it is what I have done. But I worked as an x-ray tech. I worked in the cath lab doing pacemakers and stents. And then I transitioned into healthcare IT, doing the, you know, information technology side of healthcare, helping the clinical base users and stuff like that. Now my entire focus is helping my wife Meredith with her contracts, making sure we stay organized from a tax perspective. She is a 1099, so there's a lot of requirements around organization and making sure we're good to go with the IRS on that. Like I said earlier, we self-manage a vacation rental cabin in the Smoky Mountains, and we do that from the road. So I manage all the bookings, all the pricing requirements, the marketing, you name it, I do that. And additionally, now as a lifestyle and financial coach, I'm still in the very early processes of building that out. I've come up with some programs to help, you know, folks find their own path. And at the core, it's about money and being debt free and that whole cash is king mindset. That's the direction I'm going in. I'm very passionate about it. And this journey that we're on and getting debt free and becoming financially independent, it's hard to say that I wouldn't be able to be in this position, or my wife, we wouldn't be in this position if it weren't for the journey, but very much so, it is all attributed to us just making that change and committing to it.
Yeah, no, I think that's amazing. I'm wondering too, I'm interested. I've only kind of talked to you through Instagram. Is there like a spiritual aspect to this? Because I know in your mind, you made the decision, right? And that's why I love the podcast, you know, mind, body, and spirit, because you made the decision in the mind. I want to make a change. So you did with weight loss, and now you did with debt. Your body has changed. You have more energy. You're more driven. You're seeing things a lot differently now. You know, is there a spiritual aspect to this? Is there faith? Like, do you mind sharing, you know, kind of where that plays into this whole part of your journey?
Absolutely, man. We talk about it all the time. You know, faith in our lives basically comes first in all aspects of what we do. And we say this all the time, and I tell my wife this all the time. There are reasons that things happen. There is a higher spiritual calling, a higher spiritual feeling, whatever it is that happens. And we wholeheartedly believe that this journey was partially responsible for us making that decision to do it. But really at its core, the faith, knowing that there is something better spiritually that helps drive us in the direction that we seek for ourselves. And we just kind of like, we want to just grab a hold of that and run with it and put our faith out there and know that, trust our own decisions, but, you know, kind of let go of things that we can't control. And that's what it was about. You know, there's outside factors that come into play, and there's things that just happen that sometimes are unexplainable, and you got to have faith and know that and believe that that's, you know, happening for a reason.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a wonderful Bible verse and I love it. I actually posted it on my story yesterday, and it's like, whenever you go through trials, you know, or something bad happens, something unexpected, it says, consider that an opportunity for great joy, because when our faith is tested, our endurance has a chance to grow, right? And for us to show, you know, the higher power or God that our faith is genuine, right? That I say I believe. If I believe that, I know I don't need to worry about anything, God will take care of everything. And when something happens, that's a test, right? You say you believe, well, you know, like they say your true colors come out when you're under pressure or something crazy is going on. Like, so do you really believe? And if you're able to, in that moment, take a step back, take a couple deep breaths, embrace it, understand that this little hiccup or setback, it wasn't a setback, it was a setup to help you grow. Because I always say, if you're struggling in an area of your life, God will continuously test you. Like, I know if you really don't have good patience, you're always in traffic. And it's not by accident. It's so that you can start learning to grow in that area and get better, right? So that on the other side, you pass that test, you can handle more, right? Because if God had just given you and Meredith all that money right off the bat, what would you have done with it? Would you have utilized it? Would you have created your own business and wanted to help so many other people, right? So some of the struggle and some of the pain, you're using it now, man. And I'm so proud of you.
You said something that resonates, man. It's huge. And I want to say that again for everyone to hear it, because I heard it and it struck a chord just then. You know, what we went through and, you know, in the beginning was not a setback. God was setting us up for something better. And that is 100% accurate, man. Like, it could not be better said than that. And, you know, when we got married, man, we were committed to one another. Like, that, we wanted better lives for ourselves, and the life that we had, I think God kind of helped nudge us in that direction to make that change for us. Cause he knew that we are better together than separate. We are a team. And I think part of our journey was kind of God nudging us in that direction so we can make that change, so we can stay committed to what we set out originally when we got married almost 10 years ago. So 100%.
Yeah. I really want to hear too, kind of what you would say. I always ask anyone who comes on the show, and I love this part, the listeners have been given great feedback. What are your three kind of life takeaways, or your credo, as some people would call it, that for everyone who's listening, you would want them to take away knowing from you, Brett?
Man, that is such a good question. And I'll be honest, I wish I would have wrote them down, because I have so many of them. If any of you follow us on Instagram or reach out and want to, you know, connect, I put out a lot of posts out there. I'm a big fan of Brené Brown. I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with Brené Brown, but she is a huge proponent in my life, in my wife's life. She kind of teaches, you know, courage and vulnerability and how to experience joy and not steal from joy, not let, you know, the fear be the thief of joy. So for me, she is 100% one of those things where people that I love to read. She's got a great TED Talk. She also is on Netflix, I believe. There was another individual out of Australia recently, and she mentioned something about being time rich. And if any of you have seen this TED Talk, I believe her name was Lacey. It's about 14 minutes long. And she talks about the FIRE movement specifically. But one key thing in there that I live by is for my wife and I, we want to be time rich. And that's something I mentioned earlier in the podcast that, you know, money at its core is relational. Money at its core is a tool. What you do with that money is all about your time. And your time is, do I work all of my life to pay for these things that maybe I don't need, or maybe it's things that I'm buying to impress others? Or do I take the time to understand that money is a tool to set me up for better success so I can have time doing the things that I would rather do? So for me, the whole idea of time is money is so true. And it's not how much time do I got to commit to X, Y, and Z so I can make the money based on that time. No, it's wrong. If you flip that perspective and say, no, I get paid because of the quality of time I put into something. And that's the time that I get back in the long run. So time is money is a big one for me that I kind of live by. A lot of Brené Brown stuff. She talks about, you know, fear being the thief of joy and learning to live in the moment, experience that joy without having fear creep in and steal some of that away. Those are those big things. And those are kind of the sayings that we stay true to on our journey. We don't want to be fearful. We want to accept fear for what it is. We want to take it and flip it and make it motivational instead of something that kind of keeps us in the closet and backs us down. We want to look at it, stare at it face to face and say, you know, never again. We're not going to go through that again. You're not going to scare us into doing this or doing that. We're going to go full blown. We're going to be 2 feet in, whatever the case may be. So those are kind of at the core what we're all about, you know, being time rich. So we have that time. We can, you know, I'll say this too. What's the point of working your entire life when one, you're not healthy enough to enjoy it when you get to the point that you can retire? Mm-hmm. Two, you've worked your entire life away. You didn't get the opportunity to explore and see things and do things. And now you're at retirement where, you know, maybe there's something that you can't do that you could have done 20 years ago. So this RV journey kind of encompasses all those mindsets. Yes, it's about paying off our debts and setting us up for a financial independent a future. But it's also about enjoying the time we have now. We're in the RV. We've been to some awesome places. We've met some awesome people. I've been in and out of gyms and I've made more friends on the road. This blows me away. My wife and I talked about this the other day. We've made more friends on the road, Andrew, than we could have ever met being just stationary.
Yeah.
Like lifelong friends. And that's what it's all about, man. And so it's kind of like flipping that mindset of waiting to live your life at retirement and more about living it now and taking advantage and trying to figure out a creative situation that works for you now so you can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I think I love what you said about time rich. And I think that's something entrepreneurs and I'll admit I struggle with, right? Is I'm so goal oriented and task oriented that it's like, I want to get there. Okay. Boom. I accomplished it. What's next? Boom. My accomplishment. What's next? One thing I definitely can say my wife has helped out so much with is, you know, that old expression, taking time to smell the roses, right?
Yes.
You know, because so much of our day, and especially for people who work, you know, stationary and aren't in an RV, our days are mostly the same. Wake up, you go to breakfast, you go to work, you come home, you eat dinner, right? So your days are mainly the same. So anything outside of the norm, quality time with your wife, a dinner, a time with friend, to be present in that moment, to be thankful and grateful for that opportunity. And my wife is so good, and I'm so thankful for her at celebrating little victories, whether it's a good, you know, sales week or a big month. So we'll go to a nice dinner or we'll stay in that weekend and just have quality time. And it prevents burnout, right? So that I definitely still get the dopamine from accomplishing that goal. And it's not like, okay, on to the next. I think that time rich that you said is so important for everyone who's listening. You know, take time. It's working hard, having success is great, but the relationships, you make, and, you know, looking at the sunrise, hearing the birds and the bees, you know, taking in every aspect of your outside of your work life is so, so important.
Absolutely, man. It at the core, that's what life's all about. Stopping and smell the roses, like you talked about, you know, finding those little wins, those little moments that remind you, this is why I'm alive. And that's what we're on. That's the journey we're on.
Well, Brett, it was honestly amazing to have you on. I feel like you're someone I'm definitely going to stay in touch with and invite back on to the podcast. I want to thank everyone for taking time out of their day to listen. I know people are probably wondering, hey, you didn't start with a prayer. It's because I'm going to end with a prayer today. So I just want to make sure people have a way to get in touch with you here, Brett. So if you don't mind like sharing your Instagram, and then I'll lead us in a prayer to close out.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much. So I'm big on Instagram. Probably the easiest way to get in touch with us there, or follow us, like us, whatever you want. Our Instagram is Driving Towards Fire, at Driving Towards Fire. We have a blog site, drivingtowardsfire.com. We're on Twitter, at Driving Fire on Twitter. We have an online fitness community that we run. It's at Nomadic with a K Fitness, Nomadik Fitness. So reach out to any of those on there, and we'd love to have you guys follow us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brett. So I'm just going to close out in prayer, guys. Just bow your heads, close your eyes, as long as you're not driving. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful day. Thank you for speaking through Brett on this podcast. I'm praying that whoever is listening right now is taking away valuable information that you wanted them to hear, that there was a reason today that they happened to play this podcast and hear what Brett and myself talked about. And Lord, that you were just able to speak directly to them, and that they will take something away from this episode. I'm praying that you continue to bless Brett and Meredith on their debt-free and early retirement journey. And I'm praying for everyone who's listening today that you will just continue to shine bright in their life and to keep showing them that you are not setting them back. You are setting them up for a great life and a great future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Brett. I really appreciate you. You take care and have a wonderful day, my friend.
Yes, sir, Andrew. Thanks so much for having us on. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you, as always, for the support of the Andrew Walsh Podcast. Take care.